Today's shir is Masechta Chulin, Daf Nun Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, seven lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss various situations where the animal fell, and it fell on different types of material or etc. And the Gemara's question, of course, is when is it considered a nefula? And when is it not considered a nefula? So says the Gemara, Glima Masiach, if the animal fell on a sheet that was stretched tight, pegs on the ground, so since this material that it fell on is so tight, we need to be concerned that it got a concussion. However, the Loi Masiach, if it's not tight on the ground, Loi Chashinin, we need not be concerned. Oif Umofef, if it was folded, that sheet was folded again, so now it's softer, and therefore, like a shinin, we need not be concerned. Isla or mikri kateri, however, if it fell on a net that was spread out, and there are knots in that net that are close together, so again, cheshinin, that upon impact, it will have become, get a concussion. Like mikrovikatiri, but if the knots are not near each other, like hashinan, we need not be concerned. Kitna, the ovid batuni, if a bird fell on linen that was made into bundles, rolled flax, chashinan. However, the high gisa, if the bird hit the sides of that rolled up linen, loichashinen, but if it hit a slice of the top, that's where it's more impactful and chashinen. Kitna the daik v'nafik, if it fell on flax that was beaten and combed, so therefore, since it went through all of that processing, it's not that tough, it's soft, and therefore, we need not be concerned. However, daik v'loinafitz, but it was pounded on, but not, it was daik, it was pounded upon, but not combed out, then chashinen. David Baziri, if it was fell on flax that was made into bundles, kivan de'ikabe tira, if there are knots in that bundle, then says the Gemara Chashinan, we have to be concerned. Daksa, if it fell on here the Gemara speaks about materials that were left over from the flax that are scraped. There's waste that is coarser, that is harder, and that Chashinan, we have to be concerned when it falls on that. Where it's the katka, where this is the left waste material, but it's soft, therefore loy chashinin. Navra, if the bird fell on to the inside of the palm tree. Navra, so if it fell on the inside part of the tree, which is used to make rope, chashinin. Timchsa, but it fell over just on the pieces of string that are left over. Loi chashinin, we don't need to be concerned. Kitmanala, if it fell on sifted ash. So sifted ash is hard. And since the sifted ash is hard, that's why chashinin, we have to be concerned. Loi nihila, but if it wasn't sifted, so it's not that hard, loi chashinin. Choldak, if it fell on fine sand, then loy chashinin, we don't have to be concerned, it's soft. Chol gas, but if it was sand that's harder, then chashinin, we have to be concerned for nefula. Avak drachim, if it fell on dust of the road, chashinin, we need to be concerned. Tivne v'ovid bezaga, if it fell onto straw that was made into bundles, so that's already hard, and therefore chashinin. Loy ovid bezaga, but if it wasn't made into bundles, just plain straw, strewn about, loy chashinan, we don't have to be concerned. Chita, for kol d'minayu, if it fell on wheat, or anything that's like wheat, so that's harder, and that's why we're chashinon for if it fell on them. Sari, we called the minayu, but it fell on barley, so barley is softer, loy chashinon. Komet nekutnius, and then the Gemara makes a rule. Whenever we speak about legumes, they're never considered very hard, and therefore, ein b'mishum risuk averim, there's no concern about this type of concussion. Labam merubya, except for fungicree. Chimtzi, peas, if it fell on peas, ein b'mishum risuk averim, we need not be concerned about risuk averim. Cheftzi, but if it fell on chickpeas, which don't have the same shape, you have different shapes, therefore, yesh b'mishum risuk averim, that could cause more of a concussion. Klalam ilsa, says the Gemara, says the a rule, komidi de misrik, anything that slips inside, so there's not going to be such a serious impact, because whatever falls in it is not going to just be there. Ein b'mishum risuk averim, there's no risuk averim. Loy misrik, but if it's something that doesn't slip and slide, if in such a case, yesh bo mishum risuk averim, there's type of risk of averim. The Gemara said that chiti v'kol d'minayu, anything that's in the family of chitin, there's a concern. And Rashi says that what is an example of chiti? Shifain. And the Rishash asks that the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, actually says that shifain is a type of soirim. So asked the Rishash, how do we understand this Gemara? Is shifan soirim or chitin? So the Rami Sada says that it doesn't mean that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that shifan is chitin. Shifan is not chitin. Shifan is not chitin. What the Gemara means to say here is that we're trying to identify when is it something that we have to be concerned about, what situation do we have to be concerned, and where do we not need to be concerned? And the Gemara is saying that this is a type of situation that we don't have to be concerned. It's not something that's considered that even though it's maybe type of a barley, it is something that is we need to be concerned about. So our Gemara said the komidi the mishrik, anything that slips inside. There's an interesting tshuva from Rav Unterman Zitzal, Shalos Tshuva Shevet Mihuda, where he discusses that there's a type of machine that prepares the animals as they go to the shechita, and the question apparently that came up to that question is that is there a concern that the animal gets banged up and turned around, and therefore the halacha would be that would be concerned of nefula. He says that since they've tested the animal and they've seen that the animal don't get hurt by going through an animal, so he says there's no concern of physical damage, of a concussion happening to this animal, that we should have any reason for concern. He does say, however, that maybe there would be basis for concern because the animal, as it's put into this machine box, it might get frightened, and that might make it a problem. And he makes a very clear point that our Gemara has been identifying what risuk avarim is. And the Gemara always has said that the definition of risuk avarim is when the animal when the animal falls and gets hurt because when it falls. This is not a situation where the animal falls. This is not an animal falling. And therefore, since it's not a case of an animal falling, it's not something that we could just decide is a problem. It's not something that Chazal said that we have to be concerned. It says the Gemara Dibuk. If the bird got stuck onto glue, a board that had glue on it, and the bird, and then that board with the glue and the bird stuck to it fell to the ground. Says the Gemara of Ashi Shari. Rav Ashi says that that's not a case of risuk avarim. Amema said that it is a case of risuk avarim. Says the Gemara, b'chad gapa, where it was only attached to the glue with one wing. Says the Gemara, kulam lepligi, everybody will agree to shari that it's not a problem. Ki pligi, says the Gemara, the place for disagreement is betray gapi, if it's attached to the sport with by two wings. Manda amar asar, the mandam that says that it's us, it says, hey chinekum, even though it's only one, it's only attached by one, it doesn't, with one wing, it still doesn't have a way to extract itself. And that's why it's called a nefula. Or manda shari, and the one that says that it's all, that's acceptable, amalach efshed nekum ekvid agapi. What's possible for it to do, it's able to get itself up with the stump of the wings that's not attached, and therefore it's not in the fula. But then says the Gemara Veikadamri, there's a different version of this discussion. Betray gapi kulam lepligdaser. If it's attached with two wings, it's certainly going to be in the fula. Ki pligi, where is the argument of dispute? Where's the area of dispute? Bechad gapi, where it's attached by one wing. Mandashari, the one that says it's mutter, amalach, the efshdepar bechad gapi. Since it's attached with one wing, that is good enough. Amanda Asr, he says, Kim the Bahai Matsaparach, it can't fly with one wing, won't be able to fly. Bahai Nami Lai Matsaparach won't be able to fly with the other wing either. And says the Gemara, Vehilchasa, the halacha is betray gapi asr, when it's attached to this glue board with two wings, that's called a nefula, bechad gapit shari. Rashi quotes the halachas gedolos that wherever we're learning the case where we need inspection, we have to do a bedika, nefula, a shvura, drusa. The halacha is, says Rashi, quoting the halachas gedolos, that was the case only in earlier generations, where they were experts in being able to do this test and determine the status of the bird, the animal. However, nowadays that we are not such expert, we can't rely on any examination. And wherever there's a question of a nefula, according to the Hilchos Gedolos, we have to be machmer. Rashi disagrees. He says, Ein lelo dayan el masha ein avroyos. The dayan has to base his psaka based on what he sees. And if the halacha is that we see the bird and we can do the bedika that Gemara identifies to do, that's all that we should do. He does, however, point out that the person who's doing the examination should be very careful in doing it properly. He shouldn't do it by himself. He should bring other shochtim and experts to help him. The Or Zerua writes, said even what Rashi says, that Rashi takes this more lenient approach, he says it was only in his generation that there were big Talmid Chachamim, not just big Talmid Chachamim, people who were big experts in all areas. And therefore, what they decided was something that we could rely on. But says the Azrua, Achsha Biyomenu, he writes it already in his time, and the Azrua was a Rishon. And the Azrua says, Achsha Biyomenu, Shebevenesenu, Nesmata Torah. We live in a time where we don't have that level of Talmid Chachamim. V'avda Chachma, we don't live in a time where the people have that high level of Chachma. Meshabeach ani, he says, I praise those people who are lazy. They don't just rely on what they think. They shouldn't be lenient. They're going to get schar for not doing versus doing. And the Darkei Moshe quotes this Or Zerua. Says the Mishnah, we learned the next case of the Mishnah, if most of the ribs of the animal broke, it's a trefa. Begins the brayse, the Tanna Rabbanan, Elohein roiv tzlos. What does it mean when we say most of the ribs? Shesh mikan v'shesh mikan, achas esrei mikan v'kan. The way to understand is that the animal has 22 ribs, 11 on the left side and 11 on the right side. They're really more than that, but we're talking about where the major ribs. There are small ribs towards the back of the animal. Those are not ribs that we count. And says the Braisa that when the Mishnah said Nishtaba Roiv Tzalos, it means either if you have Sheish Mikan, the Sheish Mikan, six on one side of the animal and six from the other side of the animal. So you have a total of 12. Oi, achas esrei, mikan, mikan. We'll have 11 on one side, but 11 is not enough. That's not roiv. So we have to add also one more from the other side. Omaziri, in common ziri, omachzin klapa shedra. They have to be in the part of the rib that is towards the spine, the upper half of the rib, not the lower half of the rib. Furthermore, as we just said, when we speak about the ribs that can make the animal into a trefa, it's only the large ribs, sheyesh ben moyach, that have marrow in them. When we speak about ribs and broken ribs, those are the ribs we look at. We don't look at the ribs that are small, and the definition of small or big is dependent if they have marrow in them or not. Ula says Ben Zakkai teaches us Nekru Roy Bitsar Echad, if the ribs were all on one side of the spine, then the animal's trefa only even when majority of one side alone is uprooted. So according to this, we have six ribs which are on one side of the animal and they're uprooted, then it's a trefa. Mishtabra b'roiv tzadim, but when they're not uprooted, they're just broken, then the halacha is only when you have the roiv, 12 ribs. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees that his opinion is bein nekru, bein ishtabru, whether they're uprooted or broken, it makes no difference. It's only going to be considered a trefa, b'roiv shnei tzadim, when we have a total of 12. Amarav, nekru tzura, tzela, if the rib was uprooted, v'choye imay, not only the rib was uprooted, but also the vertebrae were uprooted, then he says, that's v'choye imay, it's a trefa. Says the Gemara, amle rav kahana, Vervasi Larav. Nekrit Selamikavit Selamakan. If a rib from one side and the other side were uprooted, Vechula Kiemis, but the vertebrae is still in place. What is Dalocha? Amalot, which Rav said to him, Gista Kamrisu, you're speaking about a case where the animal was split in two. In that case, since the entire rib here is uprooted, that's considered like the animal was broken in half. And that's not just a trefa. He says that's actually a nevela, says the Gemara. Varav Nami, but Rav himself also said that Gistru Kama. So why then does Rav say that it's called a trefa? Says the Gemara, when did Rav say that the animal's a trefa? Ki Kama Rav, when only the ribs were uprooted, but the vertebrae wasn't placed. But ask the Gemara, that's not what Rav said. Says the Gemara, Rav clearly spoke about a case of rib and the chulya. And says the Gemara, what Rav was speaking about was tzela v'chatzi chulya, not when the entire was broken off with the rib, only part of the rib. Since it's only part of the chulya, so that it won't be considered a gister, it won't be in the veil. Says the Gemara, according to this understanding, Michlal the Rav Kahana Ravasi, Tzela B'loi Cholya, that Rav Kahana Ravasi, when they asked Rav, they were talking about a pair of ribs without the Cholya rib, without the vertebrae. And it was regarding to this case that Rav said to them, Gister Kamrisa, you're asking me a question of Gistera. Says the Gemara, how could that be? From Ula Ben Zakkai, we learned Ula told us the name Ben Zakkai. Nikra Barav Tzad Echad, Nishtabra Bishrav Stadim. If ribs were uprooted, the animal's trefa, even if six ribs are uprooted, but if they were broken, then the animal's only trefa when you have a total of 12, 11 from one side and one from the other side to give us a total of 12. So now that if that's the case, the Ben Zakkai said that six uprooted ribs make an animal trefa, that a pair of uprooted ribs, which is only true, should not be a trefa. It must not even on the Vela. Unlike what Rav is teaching us, Amloch, he said, when we speak about uprooted ribs, making the animal a trefa or nevela, it makes a difference if they're a pair, one facing the other, when they're opposite each other, so we have a full pair, that's when the animal is considered like a gistra and a nevela. But when it's not, when they're not a pair, even though they have so, then it's not going to be a gistra. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? From Rav Yochanan said that Barov Shnei Tzadim, that if you have 11, you have 12, then it's going to be a problem. Now, says the Gemara, as we started this discussion, there are 11 pairs of rib. If there are 11 pairs of rib, if you're going to have 12, you're going to have at least one that's a pair. Ubroiv Shnei Tzadim, Efshad Loikai Mechad Gnayu, you're going to have a pair. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the reason, if you have 12 broken, because you have roiv. But now we're saying that if you have a pair, it doesn't make a difference how many are broken. So it's automatically going to be a trefa. Isn't this a stira where Rav said that a pair always makes the animal a trefa? Answers the Gemara, in the case that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about buchna b'loya sisa. The way the rib is in the vertebrae is like a like when they made medicine. The way they used to make medicine was they had a bowl. They had like a stick that they put into the bowl. And that's how the vertebrae, the ribs are in the socket in the vertebrae. So when the halacha is where it was where the ball of the rib was removed, but the vertebrae socket remains intact. When we're speaking about a pair that automatically becomes treif, that's where it's buchna v'sisa, the entire ribs and vertebrae completely disintegrated. That's the Gemara. That's the case that we're saying is the case that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were asking about, where we have a pair of ribs uprooted together, which is part of the vertebrae. So that's the same halacha that Rav already said, that where only part of the vertebrae was removed. So Rav already told us that if you take out one rib with part of the vertebrae, the animal's a trefa. So certainly, if you have the pair of ribs, both ribs and part of the vertebrae are uprooted, they should certainly be a trefa. So what was the point in Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asking this question? Answers the Gemara, L'shmile de Rav, they never heard Rav's explicit ruling in this case. So if that's the case, asked the Gemara, so then V'libay make to Rav. If they didn't hear Rav's psak about when you have a rib with the vertebrae partially destroyed, they should have asked that question. What's the halacha with one rib and part of its vertebrae were uprooted? What will be the halacha? Answers the Gemara, you're right. They had, that was also area of that they had a question on. But they, Savi, what they, says the Gemara, wanted to do, what they wanted to do was as follows. What they wanted to do was, the boy Mnei Chada, they'll ask one question, and once they'll receive the answer to that one question, they'll figure out the boy Mnei Chada, the first they tattoo, they'll get both answers. Because their thinking was, the boy Mnei Chada, if they're only going to ask the question where one rib was uprooted, they're not sure what would be when both ribs are uprooted. If he's going to say that if one rib is uprooted, it's a trefa, then certainly in the case where two ribs are uprooted, it's a trefa. But if the halach will be that when only one rib is uprooted, it's going to be kosher, they still wouldn't know what the halach will be. At kati tied to come in bylon, what will be the halach when two ribs are uprooted? Ihachi. So says the Gemara. So they asked the other way. So asked the Gemara, "Hachish nafsh the kavim neitarti." Now, when they asked if what's the halacha when two ribs are uprooted? So yes, honey chayamalek sherub, if they're going to get a psak that it's good, so they'll easily understand that if when two ribs are uprooted, it's kosher. Koske, and certainly chada, where only one rib is uprooted, that it is kosher. However, the amalu treifa, but if it's going to, they can say that when two ribs are uprooted, it's a treifa, it won't completely help them. Because a kati, chada mebayi, they're still going to have a question, what's the halacha when only one rib is uprooted? Says the Gemara, this is what they did. Savi, in ke mirsa karasach, chada treifa, tati mebayi. They say like this, if even one rib, the animal is treif, then they're asking about two, Rav would not be happy with that question. Because Rav's reaction would be, even by one it's treif. Why are you even asking me about two? So that's why they would know that if they knew not just on the way what Rav would answer, but they would understand based on the way Rav would answer. If Rav showed displeasure when he had to answer about two, it would be clearly indication that he holds by one, it's also treif. Ask the Gemara, but if he won't be upset, so be a proof that by two, it is indeed treif, but by one, it's not treif. Says the Gemara, but that logic actually suggests the Gemara doesn't work. The Karmelite, could they asked him about two, and he wasn't upset, so that should lead to an assumption that one is okay. But that isn't true, because one is not acceptable. Answers the Gemara, one is also treif. Answers the Gemara, kiven the kamala gistra, say, yes, Rav didn't get upset, but he called it a gistra. By calling it a gistra, he's saying two is a gistra. And as we said before, gistra may even be in the category of nevela. So that is the equivalent of rischei, as if getting upset, and they ought to understand that even one is no good. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Shela, Amar Ramas Nam Shmuel, Nekrit Selim Yikara, if the entirety of the rib was taken out from the socket, even if none of the socket broke, for Gogolas Shenechfes Berub, the Gemara is going to explain this soon. Obasa as a Karis Riva Karis Berubai, all these cases are treifa. Says the Gemara, the first case that he just spoke about was Nekrit Selim Yikara, and he called it a treifa. Ask the Gemara, Verminu, I'm going to ask you a question from the following. Kam Chisran B'Shedra, we discussed this already before, a Mishnah Masechta Olos. The Mishnah Masechta Olos speaks about a human corpse that's missing some of the spinal column. And the halacha is that we know that a mace, a corpse, is metama, a very serious tumor, tumas oil, that anything that's in the oil hamace is tuma. The question, but it only gives off that tumor when we have a complete corpse. If it's not complete, then that tumma doesn't, then it's not going to give off tumas oil. And the question that the Mishnah over there discusses, Machlokes Beisham Beiselul, is how much of the spinal column is missing, how much of the spinal column must be missing that should no longer be considered a full corpse. Beisham Amrim, Shteichos, only if it's missing two vertebrae. Beisel Amrim, even one vertebrae, to which Shmuel said v'chein l'treifa. The same machlokes that we have regarding the tumas oil will be regarding a treifa. Beis Shammai only considers the animal a treifa when it's missing two vertebrae, and Beis Hillel already considers the animal a treifa when it's missing one vertebrae. Says that, so now, if it's missing one vertebrae, that means the two ribs attached to that vertebrae are also missing. So we see that according to Shmuel, the missing of a vertebrae makes a treifa not just the rib. So Shmuel just said that a single uprooted rib makes the animal a treifa. But according to Shmuel, we see from here that it's the vertebrae that makes it. It's the vertebrae that makes it a trefa. But Shmuel said that even if the vertebrae remains, the animal's a trefa. Answers the Gemara, where Shmuel said that the rib uprooted makes the animal a trefa, he refers to case tzela beloy chulya. That's when the animal will be trefa. Hasam, where Shmuel speaks about the machlokes of Beisham and Beis Hillel, there is talking about chulya, where the vertebrae is missing, but not the tzela. So he's talking about two different types of situations. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam tzela beloy chulya, to have a situation of a tzela without a chulya, mishkachsla. It's possible the ribs broke or were uprooted, and the vertebrae is in place. But ask the Gemara, how can we have that the vertebrae is uprooted and the ribs are still there? Answers the Gemara, here we're speaking about B'tshilei Kafli. As we go down the spinal column, there's going to be a place where there are vertebrae, but there are no ribs. Maskalei Rav Oshia, but now ask the Gemara another question. We know that the Mishnayos in Masechta Idyos mentioned the cases where, even though normally throughout Shas, Beis Shammai is the Machmer and Beis Hillel is the Mekel, the Gemara over there mentioned places where Beis Shammai is the Mekel and Beis Hillel is the Machmer. And this is one of those examples, because as we said a moment ago, according to Beis Shammai, the animal is only a trefa if it's missing two chulyos, and according to Beis Hillel, it's already a trefa if it's missing one. So therefore, ask the Gemara, why wasn't this listed for listening Abba Kule Beis Shammai for Chumri Beis Hillel? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Ki Etchel and Yutuma Etchel. The Machlaikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were primarily regarding Hilchas Tumah. And we speak about Hilchas Tumah, there Beis Shammai is the Machmer, because Beis Shammai will say that this corpse is still considered whole and gives off Tumas oil only if two chuyos are missing. Beis Hillel says there already won't be Tumas oil if one chuy is missing. In that case, Havali Beis Shammai l'chumra. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, that was the primary subject of their machlokes. Since that was the primary subject of their machlokes, the Gemara is focusing on the primary subject of their machlokes. The fact how it affects Hilchos Treifa is only secondary, and that's not the focus of their machlokes. The Gemara at the bottom of Amud Aleph also said that another example that Shmuel says of a treifa is gugoylus shenechsa beruba, if the skull of an animal is crushed. But ask the Gemara, when we say this halacha, what does that mean? Boy Rav Yirmiyah, what does that mean? Does it mean the rav gava from the eyes going up? I berive a kefa, it doesn't mean the circumference of the animal. The way Rashi, the Beis Yosef explains Rashi, that the gilgoilus is the top part of the head from the eyes till the top of the head. And the aloch is that most of that area is crushed, that will make the animal to the trefa. Anything below the eyes is not considered part of the gogoilus. And therefore, anything in that area is called the lechayim, the jaw of the animal. And that's not what the Gemara is speaking about when it speaks about the gogoilus. The question here is, when we mention the gogoilus, do we speak about the area going up from the eyes up, straight up, or do we speak about the area when we speak about the circumference? Do we speak about the circumference of the animal, which of course is a bigger area because it includes the area bein einayim? By Rav Yirmiyah. And now Rav Yirmiyah asks the next question, Rav Gaiva or Rav Kefa? Does it mean most of the height of the skull or the circumference? And the Gemara remains with a Teifa. Take it. We learned further. The next halacha that was taught to us was Basar Hachayf Rav Keres Berubai. Flesh that covers most of the keres, one of the stomachs, the greater part of the keres, the animals are trefa. What does that mean when we say this? By Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi wants to understand. Does it mean Rav Kurua? It's mostly torn or arrive natal or it's mostly removed. Says the Gemara, Tifshalei, we should be able to bring a raya from what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so it says, Vami Memrava, when in Etzral they explained what the Mishnah says, Mishmeid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Kala Keres Kula, when we speak about the Keres, we're speaking about the Keres Apnimi. Veza Keres HaChitzayna, when the Mishnah speaks about the Keres HaChitzayna, what is meant? It's the Basa Chayfes Rav Keres. It's the flesh that covers most of that. And the Mishnah clearly says that if it's torn, that's a trefa. So we see that the tear is enough to make it a trefa. Answers the Gemara, Midu Tamel Shmuel. When we're trying to explain and understand the halacha of Basa Kaifas Roiv Keres, we're quoting the opinion of Shmuel. And says the Gemara, Hachyamar Yaakov and Nachmeni Am Shmuel Mokum Shem Ben Milas. He had a different explanation of the Keres Apnimi and the Keres HaChitzayna. According to him, the definition of the Keres Apnimi is the area where it doesn't have like hair-like lining. And the Keres HaChitzayna is where it does have that type of lining. So that has no connection to what we just learned now, and one cannot explain the other. The Mishnah also spoke about an animal that was trusus azev, that was clawed by a wolf as a trefa. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda b'Amrav, the behema, when we speak about a behema that is a trefa, that was attacked by another animal, it's menazev ulamala. We speak about an animal that was attacked by any animal that's larger than a wolf. And the Rambam is very interesting. And the Rambam says that after Shekola Trefus Nemra Aloch L'mesh M'Sinai, even though all the Trefus, as we've been learning in our Mesecht and our Perek, are Haloch L'mesh M'Sinai, the Drusa, which is the type of Trefa we're going to be discussing now in the Shir, Nichta Beferish, is mentioned explicitly in the Torah, that the Pasuk says, U'bos B'sod the Trefa Lo Yisachelu, and from here we learn that any animal that was trefa, that was attacked, then the loch is, that's what makes the animal into a trefa. So now the Gemara is saying, which animal can make a trefa? Any animal larger than a wolf, a boifus. And when we speak about what type of a bird can make another bird into a trefa, netz minamala. Anything that's bigger than a netz, it's not exactly clear what is the netz. Ask the Gemara, what are we trying to learn? What is we trying to learn from these halachas? Lamute mai, what is being taught by these halachas? Ilaim lamute chasol, if it's coming to teach us that being attacked by a cat is not a trefa, says the Gemara, that's obvious. The Mishnah says, Tanina utrusus azev. The Mishnah says that if it was attacked by a wolf, it means that a wolf, but not a cat, which is smaller, says the Gemara v'chitema, if you say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, kamashmulon, the zev begasa nami doris, that what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that not that a cat is excluded, but rather that a wolf can always make an animal a trefa, even if the animal it attacked is larger than the wolf. So we'll explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that a wolf is very powerful. What do I mean when I say that the wolf is very powerful? What I mean to say is that it could kill, it could attack any animal, regardless of the size of the victim. But doesn't mean that a cat can't be also an animal that does attack. Says the Gemara, for Tanan, Rav Yehuda or Medrusa Zezeh Bedaka, when is a wolf going to be able to make an animal a trefa by a small animal? A big animal, Drusa Ribagasa. So we see that when it says a wolf, it's talking to a small animal that was attacked by a wolf, and the wolf is bigger. Therefore, he's coming apparently to teach us that a wolf can attack and make a trefer, but a cat not. And if you want to say, well, yes, that's going to be the opinion of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing, but our Tana will hold, the Tana Kama will hold that even a cat can make a drusa. But ask the Gemara, when we understand the Mishnah, the way to understand the Mishnah is that he's not arguing, he's just explaining. Answers the Gemara, I don't understand what you're saying. Rabbi Yom ben Yefes actually explains that Yehuda and the Tana Kama are not disagreeing. But that doesn't mean the Rav has to hold that way. And therefore, that isn't a question to prove that a chasol can't make a drusa. That it does come attack, that even a chasol that is deed does not make a drusa. And what is without Rav, we would have thought that the reason the Mishnah is teaching us a wolf is only because that's the usual case of an animal that attacks. But it doesn't mean to exclude a cat, Kamashmoan. That's why Rav taught us that that's not the way the Mishnah be understood. That when the Tana mentioned the wolf, it means to say that the wolf is the smallest animal that can make a drusa. Any animal smaller than a wolf, like a cat, can never make an animal a drusa, no matter what is the victim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Chisda, drusus chasol v'nemiya. A animal that was attacked by a cat, or nemiya is a weasel, pigdiyam v'taloyim, but when we speak about sheep and lamb, drusus chuldo, and something that was attacked by a weasel. Nemiya is a bigger animal than it's a small type of beast, but it's bigger than a weasel. Terusas cholda, being attacked begidi v'tloyim. Terusas cholda, and one that was an animal that was a bird that was attacked by a weasel will become a trefa. Neisvei. Ask the Gemara, drus chasol neitz v'nemiya, achis noke b'chalol, until the victim is only considered a trefa, it was attacked till the inside of the animal. So they made a hole in the inside of the animal. Avadrusa, these animals cannot make a drusa. Avadrusa, lesley, they can't make a drusa. Ask the Gemara, can that be pshat? The drusus netz loidaris, the tisber netz loidaris. Can you possibly say that a netz doesn't make a drusa? For Tanan, didn't the Mishnah speak about drusus and netz? So isn't that clearly an indication that it can? Answers the Gemara, halakasha. Can the gedoyim v'tloyim? The Mishnah was talking about when the netz attacked the birds. When a netz attacked birds, they will be drusa. By Gedoyim and Tloyim, Kamba Oifis, they will become a Drusa. Gedoyim and Tloyim, they won't become a Drusa. But ask the Gemara, Mikomakon Rav Chisda Kasha. Rav Chisda said that a cat or Nemiya can make a Drusa. The Braisa said that a cat or Nemiya cannot make an animal into a Drusa. Answers the Gemara, Hudam Kai Tana. Rav Chisda is going to be following this Tana. The Tanya Baribi Oimer. They said that when is something not a drusa? When nothing is coming, nobody's coming to save the victim. When nobody is trying to save the victim, the attacker is not so violent. Avol, the makom sheish metzilim, where there's somebody trying to save the victim. So there, even a cat can make a drusa, because the cat feels under attack. And since the cat feels under attack, that's why it's more likely to do and make the victim into a drusa. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The b'makom sheim metzilin, if nobody's coming to save the victim, ain't drusa, there doesn't become a drusa. Ask the Rabbi, Tana Goylus. There was once a chicken, the Havabei Rav Kahana, in the home of Rav Kahana, drawed chasol basra, that a cat ran after it, for all lejuna, and the hen ran into a room, and it closed the door behind it, and the cat put its claws on that door, and there were 5 spots of red on the door. So we see that even though there was nobody trying to rescue this victim, the cat still was a real attacker. Answers the Gemara, the 10 running away, Hatzolas Atzma, is like a situation where somebody's trying to save the victim. And as we just said, when somebody's trying to save the victim, even a cat is considered an attacker. But as the Gemara Rabbanon, says the Gemara, but the Rabbanon have been saying throughout our shir, that a cat can never be considered an attacker. And here we see it had these 5 spots of blood. Answers the Gemara, Zahira Esle, it does have poison in its claws, but the Loikala Zahira, it's not a potent poison, it won't burn the victim, and that's why the Rabbanon hold that Chasul is never considered a type of animal that does attack. Says the Gemara, Ikadamri, a different version, Homani Berebihi, that Rebbe, the Brisa, said by Rebbe, that a cat can't attack is when there are no rescues, is the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Layamri Yesh Drusa, Elva Makum Sheesh Matzilim. Well, Makum Sheesh Matzilim, but if nobody's trying to rescue the animal, Ain Drusa. Ask them, is that true? That in Makum Sheesh Matzilim, when no one is trying to rescue the victim, Ain Drusa? Ask the Gemara again, the story we just learned. Vahu Tanagoyla, the Havi Berav Kahana, there was this hen in the place of Kahana that the Gemara says, Durat Chasul Basra, and a cat was running after it. That and the Al Druna Vesyaka Dosh Bape, and it ran into the room and closed the door. And then Machla Dosh Vishufe, and the cat put its claws on the door, Vishtakachlay Chamisha Kotid Dama. So we see that the cat can attack, says the Gemara, even when there are no rescuers. Answers the Gemara, Hatzolas Atzmai, Hatzolas Achem Dami, the chicken running for its life is like there were rescuers, and that's where Baribi will agree that even a cat can make a drusa.